was at the beginning of the second missionary journey. It's kind of difficult, since it's been so many weeks, to just jump in right there and start again. So I felt like that I'd give a little bit of review, kind of bring us up to speed, so that we're ready to start tonight's lesson. The review turned in to be quite a bit, and I wrote down an awful lot of scriptures, which I probably should try not to read them all, but we'll see how it goes. So these are some high spots in Paul's life that I felt like was necessary for us to really be ready for the lesson tonight, and it's good for us to review. You know, of course, his birth name was Saul. And he was a great persecutor of Jesus, persecuting the believers and chasing them. You know, they had to flee from him, and he chased them to other cities to commit them into prison and so on. And it's just amazing that God would speak to one of his greatest persecutors, speak to him from heaven. Isn't that awesome? The grace of God. And let's start with chapter 9 of Acts. And he certainly was a chosen vessel. The grace of God. He was a chosen vessel. And in this 9th chapter, I want to read a part of verse 15 and 16, where the Lord speaks of him, and he says, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." And then notice this verse, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And right away, he preached Christ in the synagogue there in Damascus. We read that in verse 20. Straightway he preached him in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. We're in the 9th chapter. We just read verse 20, and let's go down to 23. "And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him." Saul, the persecuted, he became the persecuted when he had been the persecutor. It's a tongue twister. I can't seem to get it out. But so what a mighty, you know, he was a mighty man, going forth with all kinds of zeal, and what a come down. They have to, under the cover of darkness, they have to let him over the city wall, down in a basket to escape. Well, we know, remember, he went to Jerusalem, and the disciples there, they were afraid of him. With his history, they thought, oh, he's there to spy us out. But Barnabas was there, and Barnabas befriended him. And let's go down to verse 29. "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians." Now, that's the Grecian Jews. "But they went about to slay him." And so, as I said before, he's now the hunted instead of the hunter. And he and Barnabas preached Christ. After they left Jerusalem, they went to Antioch. And the Holy Spirit spoke then when they were there. Let's go to the 13th chapter, the 13th chapter of Acts. And I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. They're there at Antioch at a meeting. And verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for notice the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they ordained them. They ordained them for the work. And so they set out on the first missionary journey. And Barnabas, he took his nephew, John Mark, with them. And on their first part of their journey, they went to the Isle of Paphos, and they encountered a great opposition there from a Jewish sorcerer. Let's go down to verse 8, and his name was Elymas, the sorcerer, and he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The deputy was there to hear Saul. And when Saul, who also is called Paul, we see here, here's where his name was changed, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him. But here's the good part. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed and was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And so here, the deputy of that country is their first convert. And it's interesting, Saul's name being changed. You know, he had more of a prestigious name as Saul, because that means asked for or requested. And it's changed to Paul, and Paul means the little. And in the 13th verse, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, that's John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. Yes, he deserts them. Here, just on the first leg of the journey, you might say, it was just too hard a way to go. The work turned out to be the work, all right. And he returned to Jerusalem where he could be safe and comfortable and so on. So we remember Paul and Barnabas were called to the work. It was not a traveling vacation, but by any means. And they continued to minister, and they went to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, this is a different Antioch than where they started from. In this 13th chapter, let's go to verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews, now it was in the, when we read this, as we're going through this, review, we see it says Jews sometimes, when sometimes it's the believing Jews and sometimes it's the unbelieving. Well, this is the unbelieving. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It is necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Well, thank the Lord. "And so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles." Oh, thank the Lord. "That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I want to mention, because I might forget to mention it later, that some of these highlights, I wanted to see how successful their first missionary journey was and how that there were so many that believed, of the Jews and of the Gentiles. And but, of course, there was opposition and there was suffering. These unbelieving Jews here, they even expelled them out of their coast. Well, I imagine they just almost escorted them out of the region. Barnabas and Paul just shook the dust off of their feet against them and traveled on. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and what God had accomplished. Instead of being downtrodden that they were expelled from there, they was just rejoicing so many had believed. Let's go to the 14th chapter and verse 1. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." And then, of course, again, the unbelieving Jews went and stirred up the Gentiles against the brethren, and the city, we read in that part, if you remember, that it was divided. Part believed and part did not believe. And so it was a divided city. Well, that's the way it is, isn't it? Some believe and some don't. Well, and then at Lystra, there was a crippled man that was healed, and the people there, being idolaters, they then thought, well, Paul and Barnabas must be Greek gods that's come down to them. And they wanted to sacrifice unto them. In the 14th chapter, let's go down to the 14th verse, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passion like you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea, and all things that are therein." And again, the unbelieving Jews of Antioch and Iconium, they come here and they persuade the people there against the apostles. So much so that they drew Paul out of the city and stoned him. Now, that's no small thing. That was to put him to death. In fact, they left him there presuming that he was dead. In the 14th chapter, let's read verse 20. And let's see. I'm in the wrong chapter here. 20. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him," there he laid their stones, you know. "He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas and Derbe." Now, that was a miracle right there we read of. It says just a few words, but that was quite a miracle. And and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Here, you know, he'd had a lot of opposition and trouble and everything. He goes right back there because he wants to confirm those souls that had turned to the Lord. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord to whom they believed. Verse 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now, this is the Antioch back to where they started on their first missionary. And they fulfilled the work that they had been called to by the grace of God. So this ended the first missionary trip. But it was so successful. So many believers, so many churches established and everything. But, you know, there's a lot of opposition, a lot of... and even to the point of him being stoned. But let's go on to chapter 15. And in that chapter, I don't think I want to read a whole lot here, but that's when they went to Jerusalem, a council was held, and to settle once and for all, it was supposed to be, that the Gentiles were not to be burdened with the law of Moses to be saved, and that it's by God's grace alone. In the 15th chapter, I will read verse 10 and 11. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they, even as the Gentiles. Well, many legalists today, they didn't get the memo, did they? When they had this council, they sent out a memo to all the churches, and it was delivered unto them to be read, that how that it, the council was, that this was settled, supposed to be once and for all. But as I said, there are sure many churches today that are still legally trying to put people under the law of Moses. As I said, they didn't get the memo. They haven't read this 15th chapter, I guess. Let's go down to verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. And some days after Paul, said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. You would think after him being stoned on the first trip, he wouldn't think about going back there, but no, he has such a love for those new converts that he wants to see how that they're standing firm, and his concern for them spurred him to visit them again. Well, again, Barnabas wants to take his nephew, John Mark. And Paul didn't think that was a very good idea after what had happened when he deserted them. And so this caused a sharp contention between Barnabas and Paul. So sharp that they went their separate ways. Barnabas and John Mark, they went one direction, you might say, one way. And Paul, he chooses Silas, and they go on the second missionary trip. And they go to Lystra. And there we are introduced to Timothy at Lystra. And Paul had him circumcised. And it was so that he would be accepted of the Jews and that he could minister to them, for because they knew his father was a Greek. So that was the reason that he had him circumcised. In the 16th chapter, let's read verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So when they revisited the churches that they had established, they find that they are going strong in the faith and they're growing. Praise the Lord. Then Paul has a vision. And he, in the vision, it's a call to Macedonia. And he goes there, and there's a prayer meeting that's outside the city at the riverside, and he goes there, and that's when we're introduced to Lydia. And Lydia is there, and she received Christ, and she wanted so much more of God's word that she invited them to stay at her house. And while he was ministering in that place, there was this woman that had an evil spirit that followed them, and she did for days. And then Paul cast out that demon out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. But her masters weren't too happy about that, because that hit them in the pocketbook. They had made a lot of money off of her. They had Paul and Silas put in prison, and they were beaten with many stripes, put in stocks, and cast into the inner prison, which we would say today the dungeon. And in the 16th chapter, verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. Well, the keeper of the prison, you know, he was in charge to keep them safely, and so he knew he'd probably be put to death. So he's thinking about committing suicide, but Paul cries out, "Don't do it, we're all here." And he waking out, I want to start where he says, and he called for a light and sprang in, that's verse 29. And he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He knew he needed salvation. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Well, he took them to his house, and he washed their wounds, and gave them food to eat, and all his household was saved, which wonderful. Let's see, where do I want to go next? I know that a church was established at Philippi. There's no doubt about that. A church was established, and no doubt it was at Lydia's house. This is where we left off last time. And we're ready for chapter 17. Well, we had quite a review, but we're up to speed. We're ready for chapter 17. This is where we left off. Let's read the first four verses here. And now when they had passed through Philippi, I can't say that word. And I can't say that one either. Well, these two towns, they came to Thessalonica. I can say that one. And there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the scriptures. Well, that's the Old Testament. That's the scriptures that they had then, the only ones. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. In other words, here is the sent one. Here is the Messiah, Jesus. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. There's a lot of them too. Okay, then. Thessalonica's name means victory over tossing of the law and of falsity. And you know, a church was established there, and they certainly lived up to that name because they became an overcoming assembly of saints. And Paul's message, as always, was Christ crucified and his resurrection. And let's go down. Well, we're ready for verse 5. I'm not reviewing now. We got to read every verse. Verse 5 and 6. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, who had taken them in, and sought to bring them out to the people. They thought they were hiding in Jason's house. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." So out of envy, we're going to read how that they stir up a mob to a frenzy, and they cleverly use the rulers of the city in this charge that they have turned the world upside down. Well, the world had been turned upside down by sin, and it's the God's salvation that turns it right side up. Verse 7, whom Jason hath received. See, that they'd taken, but they weren't there when they went to get him. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. See, the charges before the rulers of, this is against Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. So they use a national jealousy to persuade these rulers, and saying, you know, this is against Caesar, and that they're preaching another king, Jesus. Well, one of these days, Jesus is going to rule the universe, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I have some scriptures that I want to read on this about that coming day. And you can follow along if you want to. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6:15. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In his times. Let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation 19, and I'll just read two verses here, verse 15 and 16. 19th chapter, verse 15 and 16. This is when he returns to the earth, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was his time. His time to rule. I have one more scripture, Philippians. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. And I want to read verses 9 and 11. 2, 9, and 11. 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's go back to our 17th chapter. And verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Barnabas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Doesn't it strike you wonderfully of Paul? He's so bold. He just goes right into the synagogue of the Jews. And he did that in almost every stop if there was a synagogue there. And he preached Christ. And we know he was moved by the will of God. And in this verse 11, these being more noble, these were real students of the Old Testament. These Jews here in... they were in Thessalonica. They searched the scriptures. That's the Old Testament. They searched. They were students of the scripture, and they did it daily. And when they heard Paul preach, well, they checked it out. They checked the scriptures to see whether the things he was saying was so. And we need to notice who God calls noble. He calls those that noble, that with all readiness of mind, they examine the scriptures daily. Yes. It should not be that people just receive what they hear. I don't care whether it's over the TV or whether it's a radio or from a pulpit. They should not just receive just anything that the preacher or the teacher says. They should search it out. We wish there were more that was searching. Searching out. Searching the Word of God for themselves. Not just what someone has said, but search it for themselves. And then when we do that, the Holy Spirit enlightens us as we search the scriptures. We read in John the 16th chapter in the 13th verse that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Yes. And as we search the Word, the Holy Spirit opens it up to us and guides us into all truth, we read there in John, and giving a real understanding of the scriptures and a revelation, a true revelation. I have known some who had preacher's itch, but they did not search the scriptures. They did not search the Word of God like they should, but they had the preacher's itch. Well, search the scriptures for yourself and see whether those things were are so. Verse 11, well, we read that. Verse 12, Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. In other words, when it says not a few, there's a lot of them. Well, the Lord gave them fruit of their ministry. Yes. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, now this is the unbelieving Jews, had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. See, they come there from another place to stir up the people. And of course, we read earlier, it was out of jealousy that they did that. But who really stirs up such action? Satan. Yeah, it's Satan. Satan himself. He is the opposer of the truth. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. I'm going to stop here tonight. I would like to continue on, but we're leaving Paul at where we're going to pick him up next time, the Lord willing, if we're here. The next lesson, it is at Athens. Praise the Lord. Okay.
I don't know exactly where it's at, because anyway, study to show thyself approved.
Yes, study to show thyself approved unto God. Maybe we should read that. It's in it's Thessalonians, isn't it?
Timothy.
All right.
At least I know it on my heart.
Yeah.
Second Timothy.
Well, that's not study to show thyself approved.
Second Timothy 2:15.
Yeah. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, correction. That's 2 Timothy.
1 Timothy.
No, you're one chapter beyond. You're in chapter 3. You're reading chapter
3. Oh, 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm can't help but think of somebody. Shun profane and vain babblings. y'all don't know what Don's been telling me. Yeah, shun profane and vain babblings. Well,